Hi, I'm Jen.
I'm Anthony, and this is Bottom Bracket Biking Podcast,
a couple's guide to biking. Welcome to episode 28. Today, we have an interview with a couple of amazing ladies talking about gravel training. But first, let's go talk about some events.
Yeah. First off on our list, on June 4th, we have Sterile Iowan, which is a 43, 62, 100, 200, 300, or 400-mile ride. If you are interested in that kind of thing, coming up here, what, next weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Go check it out on Bike Iowa. It is a big ride, pretty popular, too.
The next ride that we have is Fire Trucker Dan's Memorial Ride, Day 1. So there are two different options for riding this. It is a trail ride, 17 miles, and this is in memory of Fire Trucker Dan, who was a huge supporter of the biking community in Central Iowa.
Yeah. Did you say that's on June 5th?
I did not say that's on June 5th. That is on June 5th, and the second option is the next day on June 6th. So that weekend, the 5th and 6th, either day, you can go out and ride in memorial of Fire Trucker Dan.
And after that, on June 7th, that is the Monday Night No Drop Ride Dirt Edition presented by CETA. This year they are doing a rotation, so they're doing a different trail for each week, and that's based on what week it is in the month. So first and third are at Center, second's at Ewing, and fourth is at Sycamore.
This is the first time back for this ride with COVID.
Yeah, it didn't exist last year, and now it's coming back.
It's official, guys. It's back.
And if you didn't catch where it's going to be, look it up on Bike Iowa, or the CETA page should have it up there on Monday.
Yeah, there are CETA events out, so check it out on Facebook as well. The last event that we have for you today is the Lost Hills Enduro. So this is Saturday, June 12th. It's a gravel ride. There are 100K and 50K options. And if you're interested in hearing more about this ride from the race director, Raffle, we did an interview with him a few episodes back. So check that out and check out the event on Bike Iowa.
Today's episode, we'll be talking about gravel riding with Deanne Herr and Rose Willie. They are two interesting women who have done quite a bit of riding.
Yeah, we're specifically talking to them about gravel training, although I did want to point out they just got done with the Tour of Herman, which is 200 miles of gravel in 2 days, and placed first and third. So very excited to talk to them. That is an event that would be a stretch goal for me just to complete, let alone to
win.
So without further ado, let's introduce Deanne and Rose.
Here we go.
Today, we have Deanne Herr and Rose Willie with us, and they're going to be talking about gravel training, which is something that they know a lot more about than we do.
Deanne, say hi.
Hello.
There we go. Rose.
Hello.
Thank you.
So I want to start by asking you ladies, what bike are you riding? So Deanne, how about you?
Well, I have a Giant TCX. It's a cyclocross bike. When I started riding gravel a few years ago, I didn't know for sure if I was going to like it. So I didn't want to sink a whole lot of money into it. And turns out I did like it. So I just kind of kept Frankenbiking this bike, and I've added things to it and modified it. And turns out I love this bike and it works great for gravel, even though it's not, you know, like a lot of people are riding a traditional gravel bike.
That is really interesting. That is actually not the experience that Anthony had, but good to hear that it works out for some people.
Yeah. I've just moved to a steel frame bike from a full carbon fiber cyclocross bike. I like it. I like the geometry and the changeability on it more.
Yeah, I like the geometry. Mine is aluminum, but it's held up well. I've been riding it now for 4 years, so.
I'm guessing you've put a lot of miles on it.
Yeah, just a few.
So, Rose, what are you riding?
I am riding a gravel bike. It's a Raleigh Amelia 3. I've got an aluminum frame. It's got a carbon fork, and it's got a 1x11. A lot of people I notice are riding like compacts and stuff, but I really love my 1x11. So yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure that's helpful on the hills, having a range of gears. So the first thing that I really want to know from you ladies is, what got you into riding gravel in the first place? Deanne, do you want to go?
Sure, I'll go first. Because I think Rose maybe has a similar experience to me. Like I said, about 4 years ago, it was the first time I really learned about gravel. I volunteered at a gravel event in Colfax. It was the Spring Classic, and I didn't know people rode gravel, and I volunteered on behalf of Bella Rosa and got talking with Rose and Mary Llewellyn. And Mary was the one that said, Deanne, you really should try gravel. I think you'd really like it. A lot of people are starting to do it. It was just kind of getting to be the thing that people were moving towards. And so that summer is when I decided, all right, I'm going to give this a try. And so that was the first time I rode gravel, and it was really at the encouragement of a couple of female friends.
That's really fun. Rose, did you have a similar experience then?
It was similar. My first gravel experience was a couple years before Deanne's. It was on a borrowed cyclocross bike. And I had a friend at the time, and she said, hey, do you want to do this thing called 24 Hours of Coming? It's gravel. And I had never actually ridden gravel before, but I was like, oh, I'm down for anything. Sure. And so I borrowed a gravel bike, and I went out, and I don't even know how to describe it now. Looking back, it was terrifying. I had a horrible experience. I pretty much swore off gravel for quite some time after that. I thought, why would anybody willingly do this? This is ridiculous. And a couple years later, I ended up getting a fat bike, which then brought me back to gravel, and I learned to love it again. So yeah, I've kind of had a weird come back around to it. But it was about the same time that Deanne started riding gravel. I had the fat bike, and I was riding gravel for a while on the fat bike, but I had started to maybe want to explore a skinnier tired version again. So yeah, that was my introduction.
It was the fat bike that got you into it?
No, it was actually a borrowed cross bike, got me into it. And that was a horrible experience because I didn't know anything about gravel at the time. I overinflated the tires, and I had never actually trained any miles on gravel before we went out to do this race. And, I was like, oh, it's only 62 miles. I mean, I just rode Rag Rye last week. I can handle 62 miles. It's no problem. I did not understand about, you know, how gravel moves, and you shouldn't inflate your tires all the way. It's a horrible bumpy experience. It was the most terrifying 32 miles of my entire life at that moment in time. It really was. But a couple years later, I ended up purchasing a fat bike. And then, of course, you know, a fat bike is all terrain. And I learned to love gravel on the fat bike again. So that brought me back to gravel, and I gave it a second shot. So I'm really glad I did, obviously, but yeah, it was weird. But it was about the same time that Deanne started to get into gravel, and I had been riding the fat bike for a couple of years. And I think that was part of the conversation that day. It was like, oh yeah, you love gravel. It's so fun. It's so picturesque, you know, me and my fat tire bike. That was how I got there. Weird experience. Mm-hmm.
24 hours of coming is a heck of a way to start.
Isn't it? Yeah. 32 miles in, I completely DNF'd and bonked. I did not understand about nutrition or hydration or any of the things that I know a lot about now. And it's funny because I think a lot of people approach me and ask me questions about gravel now. And I know Deanne gets the same, and they think, hey, you know, you're so good at it. And I'm horrible at it. And I like to encourage them and say, listen, if you only knew where I started on a borrowed cross bike, I went out with two bottles of water and a Snickers thinking that was going to get me to the finish line, you guys. So not going to do it.
That sounds a lot like how I got into mountain biking to start with. So I can completely understand that. Although actually, I don't know if I was as willing to start as you were. So maybe even more unhappy to start with, but it sounds like you've clearly overcome that. So what then, so you got to the point where you liked riding gravel. When did you decide that you wanted to become more serious and maybe start racing gravel or training to race on gravel?
I think for me, it had been about a year that I'd been riding gravel. similar experience to Rose. It was terrifying. I was a roadie and I had way too skinny of tires on that cyclocross bike to start with too. And, you know, had them pumped up high. And so it was a learning, you know, curve to finally get a little more comfortable with riding gravel, but it was 24 hours of coming for me too. I decided, you know, I wanted to see if I could do the 100K. And so that's really when I started spending more time training on gravel. And then I think as far as actual serious training, that came when we decided that I wanted to do the Break the Cycle 200. So that was a mix of road and gravel training, really just trying to get a lot of volume in to be able to ride 200 miles in a day. But it was 24 hours of coming that really got me interested in gravel racing.
That is really cool. And just so you guys know, as an aside, I think you're going to follow the episode where we talk to Rocky Vest. So that'll be a perfect tie into that one.
Oh, awesome.
So Rose, when did you get more into it?
It was 2018 and Steve Cannon, who puts on the 24 hours is coming. I think it's always really interesting how the cycling community kind of intersects in so many different ways. You just never know. But Steve Cannon was doing or hosting a talk for our Women's Cycling Cup, Villa Rosa. And he had just got done doing Nome. He was giving a talk about it. He was telling about his whole experience and showing the bike and really challenging us to expand our possible, because that's his thing, right? Expand your possible. So He's giving this talk, and the purpose of it really was, you know, everybody has something that's their gnome. Everything, they have something that just sparks your interest, and it will partially terrify you and partially excite you. And so he said, you know, I really want to challenge everyone in this room that to go home tonight and think about what would expand your possible? What's something that terrifies you but sounds exciting at the same time? And he said, and if you find yourself struggling, just close your eyes, you know, count to 10 and see what pops up in your head. So I did. I went home that night and I closed my eyes and I counted to 10 and Spotted Horse Ultra Gravel popped up in my brain. And I did not own a gravel bike at the time. I did have a fat bike. I had never ridden more than a century ride. I think 107 miles was my longest ride ever. And Spotted Horse is 150 ultra gravel. And that just popped up in my mind. And I was like, well, that's silly. You have a fat bike. unless you're Scott Sumpter, who could ride a fat bike that far. I was not. You don't have a gravel bike, and you've never ridden that kind of distance before. And that's just silly. But I was really excited and terrified about it at the same time. And I thought, okay, let's just think about this for a second. And I thought about it for a second and I went, nah, I don't think so. Then I got logged onto Facebook later that evening to post about my great experience. And I was really motivated by Steve to ride some more. And a post popped up and lo and behold, the registration for Spotted Horse Ultra Gravel opened today. And I was like, wow, universe, that was subtle. So I immediately registered because I'm kind of that person that just something, I see something and I go, huh, I wonder. And so the next thing you know, my credit card's input and there you go. And I'm on the registration. I don't know how it happened, honestly. I don't remember actually typing that stuff in. So I've registered for a race that I don't have a bike for. I don't understand how to even accomplish in any way, shape or form, but sounded like a fun idea.
And that's how I got into it. What time of the year was this?
It was April, actually. It was about this time of the year. So it was early in the year. And then of course, Spotted Horse happens in the fall in September. So I thought, well, you have a little bit of time to figure this out. So get to figuring it out.
So one of the things that I've been wanting to ask most about training, just because this is really the thing that comes up the most in my life. And I know it's an excuse to some level, but how do you find time amidst everything else that you do for your training?
Really, for me, it has to be a priority. I have to schedule it in, and you know, I make it an important part of every week. You know, I know that there's some days that it's going to be a pain in the rear to get this ride in or this lift in or whatever, because there's other things going on. But the end result is so important to me. So, you know, really it's looking ahead and trying to try to sift everything in as best I can, and just being okay with sometimes I have to miss some things. And sometimes I have to do it at yucky times of the day, but you know, it's something that's important enough that I'm willing to do that. So it's a lot of creative scheduling.
Creative scheduling. Absolutely. All the way. I work full time and I train. I'm a little bit of a blessing. My children are grown. So they're 23 and 20. So I don't have to manage that quite as much, but even when they were younger, I did ride quite a bit still. Creative scheduling all the way. And like Dan said, I've ridden at 5 a.m. I've ridden at 4 a.m. I've ridden over my lunch hour. I've ridden, I've lifted over my lunch hour. I've ridden at 8 o'clock at night. I've ridden at 9 o'clock at night sometimes, because that's really the only time I could squeeze in that hour of training. And you become very flexible, and you have to decide, you know, I'm committed to this. It's really easy to say, maybe I'll skip this one, or, you know, maybe I'll do half the allotted time or half the allotted, you know, workout. But that's a dangerous trap to fall into, because if you're doing that, then of course you're not going to get the results. And the results being, you know, the outcome that you want at the end of it. So, I mean, you're going to still get results because you obviously did some training, but at the end of the day, I just decided at one point it wasn't worth skipping anything. Like, the hard parts are worth doing. It wasn't worth skipping any of it, because I didn't want to be disappointed at the end of the day, or with my, when I went out to a racer event, with how I did. I wanted to know that I put in all of the effort and the result I got was based on that. So I didn't want to dilute that in any way. So
yeah. I really like what Deanne said with priorities. I think a lot of times it's not that people are lazy or that they're not dedicated enough. A lot of people have other priorities. So it's not a personal failing. You know, some people have families or whatnot. And if you can't make time, you know, maybe you should look at where your priorities are.
That's actually a really interesting point, because when I was first starting my job out of college, I read a couple of time management books by Laura Vanderkam. And one of her big things is she tells people, if they're looking for more time in their life, to not say, I don't have time for this. This isn't a priority for me. And she's referring to things like, you know, doing a yoga class to keep your mental health up, or actually making that doctor's appointment and getting to it. But I think it could definitely apply to this too. And I know, Rose, you and I, when we talked, you know, you made the comment that it's basically like having another part-time job. And yeah, I can totally see that. And also then how you have to treat it like a part-time job, of you're not just going to do it when you feel like doing it.
Well, and right. I like that answer, because that's something you can do something about. You can't do much about not having enough time, but you can do something about having priorities.
You can. I would agree with that. I think if you'd, like Dan nailed it, I don't watch a lot of TV unless it's the winter months and I'm on the bike trainer and doing a workout, right? I don't, you know, I prioritize the workouts every day, and to the point that I actually sit down each week with my training schedule, and then I plug it into my calendar and where that's going to work and where that's going to fit to make sure that they get done. So
that actually goes perfectly into my next question. And Rose, if you just want to keep going, what does your training schedule look like?
It varies a little bit, but I did go back and look. I average typically between 12 and 15 hours a week on a regular average training week. That goes up to about 18 to 20 hours a week on heavy build weeks. So getting ready for an event about 6 weeks out, those are those heavy build weeks. That's where you're going to be doing what you need to be doing to care for the fitness that you're going to carry into the event. And so those weeks, the volume is more. And then of course, as you get closer to event, you start to taper back. And so on taper weeks, I was looking back and it's about eight to 10 hours a week. And that's of course, based on the time that I have available. So I definitely let Greg, our cycling coach, know like this is what my schedule looks like. I have this much available time. And then he prioritizes the workouts in that way to make sure that I get what I need from the training with the time that I have available.
That sounds awesome. Deanne, is yours similar or do you have any changes?
Yeah, mine is similar. I average probably more like, 16 to 22 hours a week, depending on, what's going on. I add a little more cross training also. I do like to run when I'm not injured. So I do have some cross training and we usually have some lifting as part of our training. But it's usually, at least a couple hours a day. And some days it can be as many as, 6 or 8 hours if we have long rides.
I mean, it makes sense for the events that you're doing, but I'm sure that is a lot of time going into the training too, just in a general week. So are both of you working with the same coach? I believe so, right?
Yes, we are.
I have not worked with a coach. So what exactly is that like? Is it him giving you workouts? Is it him riding with you? What's the sort of setup for being coached?
Well, we use a program, an app called Training Peaks. And on that, Greg will put, a workout or two, depending on what we've got coming up, each day. And quite often he'll schedule us out for several weeks. So we can look ahead and say, see what we've got coming up and, can kind of plan for some of those things. And like Rose said, if you've got something coming up that you aren't able to ride, or you know that you're going to be particularly busy, or like say this week, when I'm surprised out of town, we just let him know and he'll make some changes so that we can continue growing that fitness, but, within what we're able to do. So usually it's either a workout to do outside or something on the trainer that's a little more structured. It might just be like for me this week, I've just got, it'll be a 30-minute run, so you just go out and run for 30 minutes and your loads up on your Garmin and it pops up on Training Peaks and he can see you did it. And, of course we wear the heart rate monitors and the power meters on our bike and all those kinds of fun data collection things that help him see how the training is going and, see what things we might need to work on some more, see if we're pushing too hard and, to keep us from overtraining. And so some of those kinds of things. So those are things that I absolutely love about coaching because it used to be, I just felt like, okay, do more. That's got to be good. And I was constantly a victim of overtraining. I didn't take the rest days like I should. I didn't recognize the signs of when I was doing too much. And our coach is so great about, keeping track of those things and, keeping us cycling that you do, 2 weeks of build and then you have a cutback week. So your body can absorb that fitness and can actually gain more strength. So you can come back that next week and push it a little harder. And I didn't know those things when I was doing it on my own. And I think that's one of the reasons Rose and I have been having so much fun the last 2 years, because we're just having a lot of success because, he kind of takes the guesswork out for us and all we have to do is just, do what he tells us to do.
How long have you been doing an official training routine like that?
I've been coaching with Greg for just over 2 years. It was 2 years in January.
That would be, I'm just thinking through all of the things where I get hung up on, like, I'm going to go for a ride. And I think the two things that hold me back a lot are, where am I going to go? And like, what am I supposed to be doing? So should I be doing 10 miles? Should I be doing 50 miles? Like, all of that stuff. And I can totally see how a coach would just take that out of it. If today you're doing 20 miles of hills, go.
It was an adjustment for me as a runner, especially. It was always about how far you go. And he schedules things by time. So he'll say, like I said, 30 minutes today. So some days you might run 3 miles in 30 minutes. Some days you might run 4 miles in 30 minutes, depending on the day and how hard you're running and whatnot. Same way with your cycling workout. Some days you might be supposed to be riding at you know, an easier intensity, like a 60 to 70% intensity. Other days he might say, oh no, you need to push it. And, you know, and you're going to go a lot farther on those days because you're riding at a higher intensity. But, like you said, it's to have that guidance and to, for him to be able to say, okay, this is what you need to do this day. And you go out and attempt to do that is so much easier in my brain anyway, than trying to figure out what the world I'm supposed to do on my own.
Yeah. It takes the mental load off of it.
It does. It does.
So Rose, is that similar with what you have, I'm assuming?
Oh, it's exactly the same. Exactly. Like she nailed it. You know, recently we just did last weekend, we did the tour of Herman Gravel, and it was such a relief to go into that event and not have any questions about, you know, am I ready? Did I do the right things? Did I put in the right mileage? Did I have all the right intensities? Like that stress was removed. And so what happens is you get to the start line and you're just like, I'm ready to go. I can't wait to see what happens. Let's get out there and put all of this fitness to the test. And it just removes some of the anxiety that I had felt in the past before I started training. And when I was just winging it and doing it on my own, I made a lot of the same mistakes. I either didn't train enough, or I overtrained, or I didn't train the right things. And so it was a constant guessing game of, oh, you know, this is coming up and it's hilly. I should probably do some hills. Wait, am I doing enough hills? Did I get enough done in time? Like, so it's been exactly the same. And I started after Deanne because I just kept watching her train and grow, and how quickly she was growing by doing the right things and having this plan that was dialed in for her specifically, that I just really wanted that. I wanted to stop guessing and I wanted to enjoy it more. So I've been training with Coach Gigi, Greg for almost 2 years. It'll be 2 years in July. So a little over a year and a half now. And it's great. I love the experience.
You know, it's so funny that you mentioned going into events feeling more confident, Rose, because I know I've seen you at events that I've been at in the past and just been, and like, you're in considerably better gravel shape than I am anyhow. But just, it looks like you're having the time of your life getting ready to go. And I'm standing in the back of the pack, like, I'm going to pedal and I'm scared I forgot how to pedal. Like, I'm usually okay going into it, but I could just see it, that's how racing can become fun instead of this scary thing. So that sounds like it's been an incredible experience for both of you.
It really is. And what's, you know, what you can't control at any race is who else shows up. You know, I've got what fitness I can possibly grow. And I know I'm coming to it with, you know, in the best condition I can be at that time. Now, somebody else might show up and be 10 times faster. Who cares? Great for them. You know, but it takes that's, you know, you don't stress out about that anymore because you know that, you know, you put the work in and you're as good as you can be that day. And mm-hmm. It is. It just makes it so much more fun. And you can really genuinely cheer for other people, even if they beat you, because you're like, holy cow, I know how hard you had to work to get to that point because I see what I did. And you can really celebrate their joy too. And it's just kind of a neat feeling to come into it, you know, being that prepared.
That sounds like a great attitude to have for it too. Like the whole experience is just that much more fun.
It is.
So
it is.
When you're training, do you target those events that you're planning on doing and then create, or does Greg then create the training schedule towards those events?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm going to say sometimes our events aren't quite the same. So luckily right now we sync up pretty well because we're going to some very similar events together, but then, you know, as the year progresses, our training will start to differ a little bit because Deanne's taking on some different things. And I'm taking on, you know, a different type of event, and they happen at different times, but yeah, it's always customized based on what we're doing and what we have coming so that we're prepared.
So what events do you have coming up? Let's start with Rose.
Oh, well, this coming weekend, we're pretty excited to head back to Indianola and do the Indy 50. So that is going to be super fun. And then after that, and we're doing that together. So we have Deanne and I, and then our friend Kristen. So threesome from last year. We are the defending women's champions. I just want to throw that out there because I'm really proud of it. And we had such fun last year doing that. And the best part about that is like there was no expectation for that to happen. It was just, hey, let's go do this and have fun riding for the day and really just enjoy putting it out there and riding that ride. And Jen, I remember seeing you there last year too. And then after that, I believe we've Break the Cycle is the next event for both of us. So the Break the Cycle 200, and that's the 200 miles in one day to stop human trafficking. And I think after that, I don't know how far you want me to go, but my schedule actually extends into September. We've got Iowa Gravel Classic that I'm doing in July. And then I am taking a little bit of a biking vacation in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And finally in September, I'm going to become more of a roadie for a while. And I'm doing something called the North Star Bicycle Race. It's a 630-mile ultra race from Minneapolis to the border of Canada and back.
We just heard about that from Keith Moracle.
He's out of Minneapolis, and he was telling us about that race. I have it right down here on my note sheet.
Yeah, we have a mutual friend, Kate Inkoski, who has come down, and she's raced gravel with us, and we've seen her do that for the last couple of years, and I just really got intrigued and inspired by her, so I want to give it a try. I'm gonna bump up to a really big distance and see what happens.
So do you find that everybody knows everybody in the ultra cycling community? I know Kate because I rode with her on Spotted Horse 1 year, and now I've like followed her on Facebook all this time. Like, I feel like we're friends. I don't think she knows who I am, but she keeps coming up. She came up with Keith too.
Yeah. I'm going to say yes, because there's a certain level of, some people call it dysfunction. I'm going to call it joy that comes with taking on these long distance challenges. And there's a certain type of person that you see at all these long distance events, and we just keep coming back for more. And I don't know what that says about us, but yeah, a lot of the ultra community starts to become familiar faces. So, and I met Kate exactly the same way you did, riding Spotted Horse, suffering together on a Sarah Cooper course in the middle of the pouring down rain, just talking about our life choices. So, yeah.
So, Deanne, do you have the same events coming up?
I have many of the same ones. Yeah, the Indy 50, Break the Cycle. I'm adding a little bit more to my Break the Cycle just because I want to see if I can do it. So I'm going to do the Break the Cycle 200, and then I'm going to do the 100 mile the day after the challenge event. In June, I'm going to ride across South Dakota, actually before Break the Cycle. And that's more like a really small version of Ragbri. It's 200 people, and it's kind of a tour ride, but I'm riding with a couple of friends that they like to get out and ride hard. So it'll be a fun training. See South Dakota. We're following the Missouri River, so it should be a lot of hills and just a lot of fun. Also doing Iowa Gravel Classic. I'm going to try the 100 mile for the first time this year. I've done the 100K twice, so I'm bumping up to that. And I've seen Sarah's posts about how many hills it's going to be, so that should be fun. And then she said the hills, like for the first 80 miles, were almost 10,000 feet of climb. So yeah, there's going to be lots of up and down.
Well, you said Sarah was putting on the event, so yeah.
Yeah,
I know.
Good times guaranteed when you go to a Sarah Cooper event. Good times guaranteed.
Absolutely. And then my big one that my key race for the year actually isn't on gravel this year. I'm going to do the Hoodoo 500 in Utah. I'm going to do the stage race. So it's 3 days with totaling 500 miles through the national parks and up the mountains, and I've never ridden the mountains before. I've never descended a mountain before. This is the first time, unlike Rose, who, you know, signs up and figures it out later. I usually have it planned out, and I guess I've been hanging around her too much because she's rubbed off on me. I signed up for this before I realized what I was getting myself into. So this is going to be a fun, really beautiful learning experience that I hope I live through.
Well, good luck on that. That actually sounds like a gorgeous event too.
It's going to be a fun summer.
So you guys don't know, have you guys met Rocky Vest, the Break the Cycle guy?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I love Rocky.
Yeah. We had a whole episode. You guys don't know this yet. It's not out yet, but he's very committed to that event and what it stands for. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you guys are doing it.
Yeah. We're actually signed up for SWIG
the day that they're doing the challenge, or else we would be doing at least the 50 miles. But I'm debating telling him, like, well, it's a 50K, so can I still like call it that and just race elsewhere? But we'll see. He actually mentioned, and this is a complete aside here, that he is open to the idea of doing a break the cycle on gravel in the future.
Oh gosh.
Oh, how fun would that be?
Right.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, that's all excited.
That might be something that's coming up. And I think you ladies would be wonderful people to be involved in that portion if we want to go down that road of insanity. So anyhow, I do have one more question that I want to get in here. So it sounds like you've both come a very long ways from where you started. What advice would you give someone who's more at the beginning of the journey, who's looking into becoming more serious and wanting to start training more officially?
Just do it. Like a Nike commercial. I guess I would say, you know, we're so willing to invest in things. We're so willing to, pay for services or buy this or buy that. But people seem really hesitant to invest in a cycling coach or to invest in an actual training plan. And they feel like they have to justify doing that. I think I felt like I had to justify it at one point, like, oh, I'm not really that good of an athlete. I probably, do I really need a coach? Should I really purchase a plan? And the answer is absolutely yes. You should. If that's something you're interested in doing, you should invest in yourself, right? You should take the plunge. You should just go all in. Just like Deanne said, I will just dive in and figure it out as I go, because for me, that's part of the joy in the journey, is having the experience along the way and learning things. I'm never afraid to ask questions, be silly, just fail repeatedly until I get it right. And that's the other part about getting started, is you have to be ready to be uncomfortable, and you have to be ready to fail at things. And that's really hit home for me this year, is as I'd worked with Greg and trained with him for a year, and I was doing well. And he was doing what I was asking him to do with me. But I also came to identify I had still some areas to develop and an opportunity to develop them. And so this over the winter, I dug into those and I just said, hey, let's make me a better hill climber. That is still a struggle for me. I'm not as strong as I should be. I'm not as competent as I should be. And so we dug into that. And in that process, I got really uncomfortable. I learned to embrace being uncomfortable, to embrace the hard things, and be okay with failing at them. Because even though sometimes I wasn't doing the workout very well, or it was really hard and I failed at it, I still grew as an individual, and I also grew as an athlete and my ability. So even in that failure, you're getting something out of it. And so I think my advice would be, go all in. Invest in yourself, invest in the tools and the training. Don't be afraid or be embarrassed to fail. It's through that failure that you're going to learn what does work, and don't let that failure stop you. Like, take it and go, okay, so I can't do it this way, so what about this way? And try again. And have fun, right? Just really have fun with it. That's the best part. I'm going out there and I'm having fun. I just have so much fun with it. And I hope, when you get to the start line and you're in that moment that you get to look back and you go, man, I did that. And that was so much fun. I can't wait to do it again, no matter what that looks like. Right. And you don't have to be first, and you don't have to, win anything, but just go out and go, I did that. I had fun. I did the best I could do, and I achieved what I wanted to for the day. And if that's having fun, great. If that's riding 30 miles, awesome. If that's doing it at a specific pace and you nailed it, good for you, right? Whatever that is, just set your goal and then go after that and have your own fun along the way.
Rose, I don't think I've ever been at the start of a race where you've been there and not seen you smiling and just ridiculously happy and loving every minute of it.
It's every picture, Rose. I don't think I've ever seen you look miserable.
Oh, there's a few times on Spotted Horse. Yeah, no, that exists. There's photos out there somewhere. I'm pretty sure I've seen a couple, but I really do love it. And I think that's the best part, right? Is honestly, guys, we're riding our bikes. Like, we get to go out and ride our bikes and have these awesome moments on our bikes. Is it really that bad of a day? Because you got to ride your bike, right? So, yeah.
That's a very good way to look at it. So thank you for that advice. And Deanne, what would you say?
I mean, I would piggyback a little on what Rose said, especially one thing that she has been so great at, and I've learned so much from her for this, is ask questions. Be willing to ask questions. Be willing to put it out there. The gravel community is just really, they want to share what they've learned. They get a big kick out of helping each other succeed and really, you know, different than I think the road cycling community. The road cycling community tends to be a little more competitive, I think, but the gravel community is just that they want to help. They want to be your friend. They want to answer your questions. They love it that they've got advice to share. So I think ask a lot of questions, seek out help from other people. Really the best way I learned to ride gravel is going out and riding with people that knew how to ride gravel and watching how they pick a line, you know, watching how they manage some of the bumpy stuff, you know, letting them tell me, let some air out of your tires. You've got those things way too hard, you know, just those kinds of things. So, you know, spend time with people that are doing it. I'd like to joke. I had a gravel dad, you know, he came out with me and as I'm bouncing around the first time on gravel, going 3 miles an hour and thinking I'm going to die, you know, saying, just trust your bike, trust your balance, you know? And so just being with other people is a really good thing, you know, and finding a rose in your life too, somebody that can cheer you on, that is always there with that smile and encouragement goes a long ways to helping you have success in this sport. And then two other things I was thinking about, as far as training and, you know, especially on gravel, you're not a lot of times close to places to get food and water and stuff. So, you know, really prepare a little more than you think you might need. You know, if you think you're only going to be out for 15 miles, grab two water bottles instead of just one, because sometimes it takes longer than you think. Sometimes you have flat tires. Sometimes there's roads out or whatever. Always have a little extra food with you. Carbs are your friend. When you get home, protein is your best friend, especially women. Girls, you got to get lots of protein to rebuild, because you burn a lot of calories trying to, you know, bounce around on that gravel and maintain your core and maintain your upper body. It's just a different animal than riding on the road. And your body requires more to refuel. So that would be a couple of things, I think, to encourage you to, you know, to plan when you're going out riding, that, you know, that you've got with you what you need. And some safety kinds of things too. You know, it's not a bad idea to carry some pepper spray for dogs. It's not a bad idea to have blinking lights so that the cars can see you in the dust, and, you know, those sorts of things.
That is some really good advice.
Excuse my
cough. I just have to throw this out there. I love it. This is what I love about Deanne and I's friendship. I am all sunshine and rainbows and motivation, and she is practical. And so what happens is we start talking about events or ideas or rides, and I get a super pumped. I'm like, I can't wait for us to go do this. Look at this. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have this great experience. And she's like, okay, so we need water bottles and food, and how much should we eat? Right. Like, she's a planner. And I'm like, let's go. So I think we make a great team, because, like, the things that I'm over here forgetting about, she circles back in and goes, hey, don't forget about the practical things, Rose. So
I'm definitely more of a Deanne. I don't get terribly excited about stuff. I can do it. I just don't get that, you know, excited about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm more of a bring the extra water bottle, plan for 45 extra minutes.
No, I think that is a perfect team to have, because then you do have that excitement, but also you didn't forget your spare tube or your pump.
Yeah. And I think, just to add one more thing, and, you know, is really just that, like, find a friend or a teammate. And I know you guys, you know, as a couple do a lot of biking together, but, you know, that person that wants to go have those adventures with you, and you get excited about it together. And we don't always get to ride together. Deanne is exceptionally fast, and I'm getting faster every day, but I am not at her speed. But, you know, there have really started to become moments where we do get to ride together for some portions, and that just becomes such a treat. We got to last weekend cross paths on the course. On one of the loops, she was coming in as I was getting out there, and we got to cross paths, and that was such a joy to like to be able to see my friend and my teammate on the course and just like cheer for her and have that moment and share that moment later on. But you know, if you struggle with getting out there and you struggle with getting to the start line and you're concerned, you know, find a friend and say, hey, let's go do this together, right? So an accountability buddy helps a long way.
Well, that sounds like an awesome way to get started. I want to say thank you so much for coming on and talking today. I know that Anthony and I both got a lot of really good information that we can take away from this. I'm sure a lot of our listeners will as well. And yeah, just thank you for taking the time out of your day to talk to us. With that, I think that's everything for the day. Thank you, ladies, very much.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you. Have a good night.